Thank you, Bells, and good luck as you show up. Oh, I mean, play with the other choirs for your concert in Colorado Springs. We are still looking at the five solas, the five slogans that were used during the Reformation to help the church get back to the core message of Jesus. Last week, we talked about the slogan, "Through Christ Alone," and we were reminded that the spotlight shouldn't be on the professional religious clergy. It's supposed to be on your relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't follow me, follow Jesus. This week, we are looking at the slogan, through grace alone, and we'll look at Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, still to this day, I count this as the craziest question I have ever been asked in my life. I had just jogged back to the sideline after an admittedly great play in flag football in seminary, and I had taken a short pass and made one defender miss with a stutter step and spun around another one, reversed field, and took it all the way to the house for a touchdown, and then very humbly went back to the sideline. And one of my classmates, who, for reference, had been on the track team at the University of Texas, so she knew what athletes were like, and she knew very well that I also went to the University of Texas, and she knew several of the football players at the University of Texas and knew what they looked like and were capable of. So she says to me, "That was so graceful. Did you play football in college?" My response, other than being too short, too weak, and too overweight, I think UT would have offered me a scholarship. So when the Reformers, 500 years ago, said that we are saved through grace alone, is that what they were talking about? Were they talking about the physical grace, the ability to run smoothly or to dance well or to swim fluidly through the water? When we're saved by grace, is it a physical thing? Well, I hope not, because otherwise salvation is only a thing for the young. How else is the word grace used? It's not used in that many contexts, but another one is in England. The Duke of Devonshire and the Archbishop of Canterbury are both known. Their title is Your Grace. So is that what we're saved by noble titles and ascending the church ranks to get the best title before your name? Well, I hope not, because my family tree has a lot of criminals and no nobles, so that wouldn't help me. And Presbyterians don't even have bishops, so I'll never be called Your Grace. The only other way we use grace, really, is in the church. And so it's kind of a hard thing to wrap our mind around, given how infrequently we use the word grace. But I think it helps, maybe, to contrast grace with the words mercy and justice. Let's look at justice first. When a known murderer gets life in prison, maybe you think they got what they deserved. Or maybe someone is proven innocent, and you think the same thing. Well, they deserve to be proven innocent. Justice is getting what you deserve, no more and no less. But suppose you're pulled over for speeding, and let's be honest, you really were, and the officer just writes you a warning. Did you get justice? Well, no, you deserved a speeding ticket. You got something better than you deserved. You didn't get the punishment you deserved. That's mercy, when you don't get the punishment that you do, in fact, deserve. But grace is even different still. In the movie Hidden Figures, which just came out, it's set in the early days of the space race, and one of the first scenes has the main characters, three young black women, on the side of the road with their car broken down. And a white police officer pulls up behind them, clearly presuming them to be troublemakers. It looks like they are about to receive a punishment they don't deserve, an injustice. But then they tell him that they do calculations for NASA, and his mood changes. Suddenly he starts complaining that the Russians are ahead of us, and he thanks them for helping the United States catch up and pass those darn Russians. And he says, "I bet you're running late for work. How about a police escort?" And so they get to fly down the roads at top speed with the way cleared by this newfound police officer friend. Did they deserve to get a police escort just because their car broke down? Well, no, of course not. It was a gift they didn't deserve. It was nice. It wasn't something they were owed. And that's what grace is. It's a favor that isn't earned. When the reformers said that we are saved by grace alone, that's what they meant. They meant that we have found favor with God, but we didn't do anything to earn it. They meant that it's not something that God owes us. It's a gift that God chose to give us. A while back, my family received a letter in the mail from an address we didn't know. We opened up the letter and a check fell out of the letter. And as we read the letter, it was from a woman who had a child who was born with health problems who eventually passed away. And in response to that, she created a foundation to help families with children who are struggling. And she heard about us and our son Charlie with his seizures. So she had her foundation send us this check. And the timing was perfect. We were hoping to be able to send Charlie to this camp for kids with special needs, and it allowed us to send him to that camp. But we didn't deserve that. We didn't do anything to make her owe us that check. It was a gift given out of compassion because she knew where we were coming from. She did the same thing, actually, for some of our friends who had their twins born dangerously early. She helped them too. That's a gift. That's grace. And God gives us many gifts that we don't deserve. Gifts that God does not owe us. Gifts given out of compassion. Grace. Last week I told you a story of premarital counseling, and here's another one. When I meet with couples, I have them do this assessment before their wedding, and this assessment helps them figure out where have they talked about the key issues, where are they on the same page, and where do they need to talk more. It's based on research of if you get on the same page about these things, you've built the foundation for a long-lasting marriage. And one of the questions in this assessment says, "Nothing my partner could do would ever make me question my love for them." Rate that 1 to 5. Now, a lot of couples, both of them put down 5, that absolutely nothing could ever make me question my love for my spouse-to-be, but the assessment is trying to trick you with that one. That's a trick question because they're trying to see how rose-colored are your glasses? How idealistic are you heading into this marriage? And so I often ask people, well, what if your spouse turned into Adolf Hitler and supervised the killing of 6 million Jews? Would that make you question your love for them? Well, yeah, of course. Well, what if they turned into Tiger Woods and you caught them in dozens upon dozens of affairs? Would that make you question your love for them? Now, those are extreme examples, of course. But the point is that your spouse can do something to make you question your love for them. But contrast that with what God says in our text today. "I will never leave or forsake you." God is saying that he really is a 5 on that question, that truly nothing you do could ever make him question his love for you. That's not rose-colored glasses. That's the God's honest truth for you. Part of God's grace is that God gives us the gift of infinite forgiveness. God is not a bouncer at the club looking for a reason to toss you out. God is a close friend constantly inviting you over for dinner. God gives us the gift of infinite forgiveness, a gift that we don't deserve, a gift that God does not owe us, a gift given to us out of compassion, for God knows where we're coming from. That's grace. But it's not the only gift that God gives. Have you ever seen an infomercial for something like, you know, OxyClean or ShamWow, and they inevitably have something, you know, call it the next 15 minutes and we will give you an extra one free, and here's another product we have, we'll throw in, and trust us, it's a $1,000 value for free, but you got to call in the next 15 minutes. Or maybe you've seen an ad or a coupon and it's a great deal, but there's a little asterisk in tiny print at the bottom. It says, while supplies last. Contrast that with what our text says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that Jesus isn't some special deal only available if you pray in the next 15 minutes. Jesus isn't a limited time offer while supplies last. A life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ is available yesterday, today, and forever. And I think this is an incredible gift, a great grace. If I were to ask you to graph your faith, would it look like this? A straight line constantly sloping upward toward Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Is that what your faith life looks like? Because mine doesn't. I don't know about you, but mine looks a little more like a roller coaster at Six Flags than a straight line heading up on a math test. Mine's got some ups and some downs, some flat places. I've even got some loop-de-loops in there, I think. Over time, you can see the faith growing, but in any given year, it might be up or down, or even flat. I bet yours looks a little more like that than like this. And here's a secret. That person you know with a great faith, the faith you could never match, that's what theirs looks like too. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that even when we're sliding down in our faith, Jesus doesn't abandon us. That means that even when we've been flatlining for years, Jesus doesn't give up on us. He is reliable. That is one of the gifts of God's grace, God's reliability. A gift given to us out of compassion because God knows exactly where we're coming from. That's grace. Now, God gives us a lot of gifts, but I only want to focus on one more. When I was a computer programmer at National Instruments, we had a bunch of people working on the same computer code, and we each had a version on our computer in front of us, but then a master copy that everyone worked on. And so you'd work on your little project, and whenever it was done, then you sent it out to everyone else. And you really had to make sure, though, that you had it working. Because if you didn't, then all of a sudden 30 other people would have their machines breaking in front of them, and then they would appear in your cubicle yelling at you. Hypothetically speaking, of course, I would never have done that. But to make sure that we didn't do that and break 30 computer programmers' computers at the same time, before you sent it out, you had to have someone else come look at what you had done. And as a young programmer, it was a little nerve-wracking the first time my manager comes over to look through my code and look, you know, well, why did you do it this way instead of that way? And did you think about solving it like this? This would have been way better. It felt like he was looking over my shoulder for a gotcha moment to chastise the rookie. Contrast that with the end of our text today. It is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food. But what does that mean? Well, regulations about food were a big deal at the time. There was a big debate between whether the non-Jewish converts to Christianity had to follow kosher laws for food. And spoiler alert, the non-kosher side won out. So if you've been holding back on shellfish and pork, you can go eat that for lunch today. You're good. But the gift, the grace here is that God isn't looking over our shoulder, looking for a gotcha moment to try to chastise us. God wants our heart to be strengthened by grace, not enslaved to rules. God wants us to live, not tiptoe around, walking on eggshells, hoping we don't break something. When I worked at National Instruments, I eventually had a change of heart about those code reviews. After I made it through a few of them, largely unscathed, I realized they were an opportunity. I had some of the best programmers I had ever worked with looking at what I had done, offering suggestions. Sometimes they had ideas of how to solve it that I hadn't thought of, or a way to make it faster or easier for other people to work with, or more secure. It was an opportunity to get better. And it didn't just make the company better, it made me better. It made me happier because I could take more pride in what I was doing. I think it's the same thing with God. There are times when God definitely has to tell us that we aren't doing things right. We're doing something wrong. We're hurting ourselves. We're hurting someone else. He's got to let us know that. But the point isn't to beat you down. The point isn't for God to tell all the angels to look at you and everyone can laugh at the gotcha moment they found. The point is to help you live better, to be happier, to take pride in how you are following Christ. The gift of life and not enslavement to rules is a gift that God gives us out of compassion because he knows where we're coming from. That's grace. Sisters and brothers, God is a gift giver. And God is full of grace. God gives us so many gifts out of compassion, not because we deserve it, not because he owes it to us, just because he chooses to give it to us. We are given the gift of infinite forgiveness. God never walks away from us. We are given the gift of God's reliability, that a relationship with Jesus is available yesterday, today, and forever, even if your faith looks like a roller coaster. We are given the gift of life, not rules. Because God wants to help us live better and be happier, not catch us in a gotcha moment. Those are gifts given to us out of compassion because God knows exactly where we're coming from. That's grace. So the question this week is, will you accept those immense gifts? Or do you think you've got a better way? I recommend you accept the gifts. Amen.